we left off in the previous year, so we were discussing the applications of the principle of our Gemara of Nechel Le'irish Lameh Ben Mitzvah B'Mamone. Basically, although we did come up with a Machlekes and Rishonim as to some of the limitations on this rule, we're basically following in Shulchan Aruch the understanding that as long as there's no clear-cut hefsed to the owner of the object, so then we're okay with applying the principle of Nechalei L'inish L'meh Ben Mitzvah Amonei. And it's based on this that both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah permit a person to quote-unquote borrow somebody's talus and tefillin, and sometimes even a lulav, just assuming Nechalei L'inish L'meh Ben Mitzvah Amonei. The only problem is the Ramah Nuchas Lulav is quick to put the brakes on this and say that when does this svara make sense, that's a mitzvah that doesn't require lachem. If the halacha requires that the object belong to you, so then obviously the borrowing it without permission is not going to be any more significant than borrowing with permission. If you would actually give me permission to take your lulav, it wouldn't work because it's a lulav hasha'ol. So on the first day, taking a lulav without somebody's permission is not going to be acceptable. After the first day, that'll be all right. The first day won't be good. So with that, we left off with a problem because the Ramah himself, Shulchan Aruch and Ramah and Hilchos Talos and Hilchos Tefillin do accept the idea of Nechle L'inish L'meh Mitzvah Mamoneh, even vis-a-vis Talos, even though Talos has a requirement of Lachem as well. There's a din of Ksuscha, there's a din of Lachem, and as such, why should Tzitzis and Talos be fundamentally better than Lulav on the first day? That's where we were left hanging, that contradiction in the Ramos. So the Magen Avraham, I don't think I put it on the Marmakar, so the Magen Avraham has a fascinating insight as to answer this steer in halacha, the steer between what's the difference between lulav and tzitzis. And the Magen Avraham is a very startling answer. The Magen Avraham says, you're right, you know, that the person is not really going to be yaitzei, the mitzvah of tzitzis, with somebody else's talus, because it's ultimately no better than a talus she'ula. So what are you doing? You're taking a guy's talus, you're making a bracha. Isn't that a bracha of a talah? Well, not so fast. There's a tzitzis in Maseches Chulin that discusses the possibility of reciting a bracha on a talus she'ula, a real talus she'ula, the real makoy. I borrow a four-cornered garment from you, I put strings on it, it's clearly not chayav in tzitzis. Men ha-Torah, it's not chayav in tzitzis le'olam v'od. Even mid the Rabbanon, it's not chayav in tzitzis for the first 30 days. So there's no chiyuv whatsoever of tzitzis. And Tosfos says, but I want to put tzitzis on. So says Tosfos, gegus and put tzitzis on. I want to make a bracha. Tosfos says, you know, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe you could recite a bracha on it as well. Make a bracha. You're not yetzir the mitzvah. What kind of bracha is it? So Tosfos comes up with what appears to be a very, very strange, apparently a very strange comparison. Tosfos writes, well, we have precedent in halacha of reciting a bracha on a voluntary act. Where do we find that? Women. Women recite brachas on mitzvah zeh sheyesh b'hagramah. Now that is a loaded statement, because the Rambam actually holds women do not recite brachas on mitzvah zeh sheyesh b'hagramah. But don't forget, these are the Balei Taisus talking. They were the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam, the grandsons of Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam's opinion was that in Hochinami, Rabbeinu Tam said that women can recite a bracha on mitzvah zeh sheyesh b'hagramah. It's a shirki dishonav, mitzvaysav, it's yivonav, and it's not true. So Rabbeinu Tam explains, no, it is true a little bit. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. When a woman shakes a lulav, she's not mechuyemis to do so, but there's definitely some kind of a mitzvah, something that she's gaining by doing so. When the woman sits in the sukkah, she may not be mitzvah to do it, but it's still called a ma'isa mitzvah. And other Rishonim pick up on the problem, but the word vitzivanu just doesn't mean that. Vitzivanu means commandment. There's a commandment, there's a commandment. So the Ran, Mesach Kedushin, explains that vitzivanu is a lashon rabim, that all of Klai Yisrael have this tivoy, so it's given to all of us. So even though I personally am not mitzvah, that's also okay. I can also say the bracha al-smach al-loshen harabim. I've said many times that you see that the Ran wasn't Hasidish. He didn't speak like a Galtziana, because if you speak like a Galtziana, it's mitzivani, it's not mitzivanu. So that wasn't a rabbi. So the Rishonim explained away why it's okay, according to Rabbeinu Tam, to recite a bracha on a mitzvah tish as well, which is standard Ashkenazi practice today. So Taizen Chul has a big chiddush. Taizen writes that you see from that sugya that we could justify reciting a bracha even if I'm not technically chayev to do it, because it basically looks like a mitzvah. Whether the rest of the tzibur is looking as a mitzvah, whatever the parameters of the understanding for a Rabbeinu Tam are. So says Taizen, maybe the same is true for a talus she'ula. It's true I'm not chayev to put tzitzis on, maybe there's like a little kiyum. It's true, I'm not really mitzvah. Well, other people are mitzvah. The owner is mitzvah. So maybe we can push through the bracha, shir kiddushan, mitzvah, mitzvah. For the person who wants it, you're not mechuyev to make this bracha. You're not mechuyev to put the tits on in the first place. But if you choose to do so it's hard to call it a bracha levatol. So Taisus hems and haws, and Taisus says, maybe it's not true, maybe the comparison is not right. And finally, Taisus throws up the hands and says, I'm a varchul hifsid. That if a person does recite such a bracha, so it's hard to say that he's wrong. It's hard to scream at him that he's a mamshim varch bracha levatala. It could be the justification for such a bracha, albeit as an in mitzvah. So says the Magen Avraham, that's what's going on in Shulchan Aruch and Ramah here as well. When I walk at the shul, I forgot to bring my talis. So I go over to somebody's talis, and I yank out his talis. I make a bracha, shir kiddushan, says the Magen Avraham, you're not yotzi. It's a talis shul, you're talking about yotzi. Even if you hold Nichla Linish, the mitzvah monet, which again, not everyone even agreed to based on Wednesday Shia, that it always applies. But even if you follow, like the Chibas Hadesha, with the Gra, with the Shulchan Aruch, with the Ramah, you follow conventional wisdom that Nichla Linish, the mitzvah monet, is the halach equivalent of the person giving you rishus to do it. Okay, I have rishus to do it, but I'm still no better than a shoel. You're right. You're talking no better than a shoel. But still, I'm a varach lo hifsid. So a varach lo hifsid, that applies to tzitzis. That wouldn't apply to lulav. When it comes to lulav, so there, it's not a chisar in the mechayev. There it's a chisaron in the etzem chefta shel mitzvah. It's a little bit of a difference. When it comes to lulav, so there are dinim that govern the kashrus of dal and medium. So there are some dinim that govern the kashrus of dal and medium because they're lacking of hadar. There may be a din, dal and medium can be chaser, is that a separate psul, the same psul as hadar, it's already a shabbat of lulav gozel. There are other halachas that govern dal and medium. So one of the halachas that govern the kashrus of the dal and medium is that it has to be lachem. So if it's nish lachem, so I can't make a bracha on it. That's like making a bracha on a psul asterisk. But when it comes to tzitzis, so the point is the chisard of Tal Shula is not a chisard in the cheftz of a mitzvah. It's a chisard in the mechayev. It's a chisard in the talis. The talis, normally a talis of dalet kampus is a mechayev of tzitzis. So here it's missing one of those pratim. It's missing the bailos, it's missing the dev lochem. So that's what Taisus is pilpuling. Maybe, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe since the chisara, the deficiency is in the mechayev, so we already have justification for reciting a bracha when the mechayev is not so clear. When a woman shakes the lulav, there's also chisara in the mechayev. The mechayev of lulav is when the 15th day of Tishrei comes for a Jewish male, that's the mechayev. She's not a Jewish male. So there's a chisara in the mechayev, but that's okay. We can still push it through. B'toras ena mitzuviyah, sashik nishar mitzvah, mitzvah, moshi rab, etc. But when it comes to lulav, where the chisar is in the etzem ha-cheftza shel mitzvah, then that's, you can make a bracha on a pasal lulav. That's not even up for discussion. So says the Magen Avraham, that's what's going on the page here. That's what's happening over here. That hilchas tzitzis, so you're making it b'toras ena mitzvah v'yaseh. B'chari, there is a technical issue with this Magen Avraham, that based on the marshal, based on the wording that we just said, that we can only justify this tzitzis if the chisar is in the mechayev. This is not the same thing that Tosfos was talking about. Tosfos was talking about, I borrow a talis from you. I don't need a talis with strings on it. Tosfos was talking about, I borrow a four-cornered garment from you, and I choose to put the strings, my own strings, onto that talis. So then you can argue the deficiencies in the mechayev. Maybe Kenzai, we can kvetch it, we can make a bracha on it. In addition to the din of owning the talis, there is a din that the strings have to belong to you. If you steal strings from somebody, you're not yotzei. If you borrow strings from somebody, you're not yotzei. There's a din of bailus on the strings themselves. So that secondary din of bailus on the strings, that's much closer to the model of lachem of lulav. I mean, by tzitzis, there are really two different halachas of lachem. There's a din the talis has to belong to you, and there's a din the strings have to belong to you. One is derived from ksuscha, and one is derived from gedirim tas halacha. But they are fundamentally different in nature. One is a halacha in the mechayev, and one is a halacha in the cheftza shel mitzvah. So vis-a-vis the mechayev of talis, not a kikvetch, I could say, all right, there's a deficiency in the mechayev, and nishkefele, he could still justify making a bracha b'diavad like women. But when I walk at the shul and take somebody else's talis, so we're applying nichlel inish the mitzvah money vis-a-vis the talis and vis-a-vis the strings. But I don't own the strings. The best that I am with the strings is a shoel. But a shoel can't make a bracha. Because a shoel making a bracha on strings, chutin mishulin, is like making a bracha on a lulav shoel. So a lulav shoel, we can never in a million years justify making a bracha on. That's a psul di yetzim adavar. So this is also a chisar of the yetzim adavar, the yetzim chetzim shel mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham doesn't address that issue. It's just the Ha'ara. The Magen Avraham doesn't address the Lechora, if you're going to understand the Mechaber and the Ramot to mean that you're not really Yetzei the Mitzvah, so then that could potentially be true vis-a-vis the Talos, but vis-a-vis the strings is Bashar to say that. But there's something else that's emanating from this Magen Avraham, a huge Chiddush that's emanating from this Magen Avraham. We're almost like talking in circles. The whole justification to take the fellow's talis normally is a big gazelle. I walk to your house and I walk away with your animal. That's called the goslin. So I walk at the shul, I pick up your talis. I don't call you, I don't ask you wishes. I pick it up and put it on. A goslin, a shul shlubidas, it's a goslin. And I do that. So L1, nichla linish, whatever that means, whatever the lumdus for that is. Nichla linish, it's understood, it's umdun of the book, whatever razzle dazzle chayshe mishpah. Hopefully we'll talk about in, as the sugi develops what's behind the principle of nichla linish, but maisa, that's what we're relying on. So what's the lashon chazal? Nichla linish, lemevin mitzvah, pimamayne. People are happy, and at the end of the day, the Baal HaTalas, the owner of the Talas, is okay with this. Because Klai Yisrael of Rebbe Zolazah, he really wants other people to be Yetzir Mitzvahs as well. But the fellow's not going to be Yetzir the Mitzvah. What the guy's doing is not even a Mitzvah. Because you can't be Yetzir the Mitzvah Tzitzis without owning the Begit. So we're talking literally in circles. The whole justification of taking the Talas is to enable the other fellow to do the Mitzvah. But he's not going to be Yetzir the Mitzvah. So Bishlama, to take his tefillin, that I can understand. Because when you take somebody's tefillin, at the end of the day, you're Yetzir the Mitzvah. So take a lulav on day 3 of Chol HaMoed, that I can recover also. Because at the end of the day, we're going to be Yetzir the Mitzvah. So take a talis, and the Magen Avraham is telling me, you're not really Yetzir. Well, how are you making a bracha? You make a bracha because there's a lone taisus tucked away in Chul, and the Magen Avraham discovered that says, oh, by the way, you can make a bracha on a talis shul. Okay, fine. But at the end of the day, you're not being Yetzir anything. So what kind of nichle elidish to maybe mitzvah be my name? So a korachah, what you see from this Magen Avraham is a tremendous chiddush. That nechal elinish the maven mitzvah b'maini. Who defines mitzvah here? Is mitzvah defined by the pure objective halachic categories of upidin the Mishnah Berurah sefkat and such says yaitzir the mitzvah? What does mitzvah mean? You ask the olam, take a survey. What do people think? Your average guy thinks when you see a person walking at the shul and putting on a talis, oh, what a kavaldik yaitzir mitzvah. No, he's not really yaitzir because it's on ksuschot. Come on. Not everybody comes to Kol Boker at 6:40 in the morning and knows the intricacies. That you're not really. Not everybody knows this Magen Avraham. So the Olam Kazak, the guy's wearing a talis, so he's Yetzir the Mitzvah. So it's clear for this Magen Avraham that for the purposes of Nechla Inishlam Mitzvah Maynei, we don't need something that is objectively truly a mitzvah. We need something that the Olam perceives to be a mitzvah, whether it is a mitzvah or not. So that's what. This one is a mitzvah. That is really a mitzvah.
But I'm saying it's not defined by the
Bedikas Chometz, the original source of the sugya is Bedikas Chometz, you're correct. But Bedikas Chometz is a real mitzvah. I mean, when it's a mitzvah, the Raisa, mitzvah, the Rabbanah is another story. But it's there's no when you make a bracha, Shekhar Yisham, this is not a voluntary bracha. This is the real McCoy. I mean, we've been learning 6 months Bedikas Chometz. We're not talking about like some, nice Jewish thing to do. We're talking about a real bona fide mitzvah. So this Magen Avraham is really a tremendous chiddush. This Magen Avraham would have application for a woman as well. Let's say a woman walks into shul on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and she wants to pick up somebody's lulav and asking permission. Would we justify that? Can we hide behind nichle inish the mevi mitzvah? So the answer is yeah. According to the Magen Avraham, that's what tal shul is in effect. That even though it's not a chiyuv, but it's a something, it's a mashu, it's a kikum, it's a half baked something or other. So that's also considered to be enough of a mitzvah for nichle inish. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein discusses this in a tshuva, and he extends this idea a little bit, that you can argue that nichla elinish lemevi mitzvah amayneh doesn't even have to be mitzvah oriented. It can even be almost like a minhag, something that if the olam views it to be choshev, so that's enough of an umdanot, enough of an understanding to plug in nichla elinish lemevi mitzvah amayneh. He takes the Magen Avraham even one step further. He has a raya from a Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shofar. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Pesuk in Hilchos Shofar. I walk into shul, I can't find the shofar. I forgot where, there's no shofar around. There's one guy, Reuven owns a shofar. Reuven's not here, Reuven went away for Yom Tov. And he left the shofar here, so no one's using the shofar now. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you can pick up the shofar and blow the shofar. I give out, you're the Mr. Gazlan, you're stealing the shofar. Nichla Lishnabe Bitzvah Monei. But the truth is that the din of lachem bechlal doesn't bother. There is no din of lachem b'shofar. There is no halacha of the ownership. You can borrow a shofar. Forget the Rambam has a chiddush. The Rambam writes, even if you steal a shofar, I'd say, you don't even apply mitzvah b'bi aveir to a shofar. The Rambam says, why? Because mitzvah b'bi aveir means when the cheftza is the davar that you're doing the mitzvah with, like the lulav agozel, tzitzis gzul, tzichsukr gzul, those are mitzvah b'bi aveir sugyas. Shofar, so the mitzvah is the cold, the mitzvah is the sound that emanates from the shofar. The ram's horn is just a timtza to make a sound. But we're really being down on the sound proper. The sound ain't be gezel, ain't be called in gezel. You can't steal sound. Sound is a non, you know, it's not a tangible thing. So there's those things being a gazel on the sound. So clearly there's no din of lachem in the shofar. So says the Mishabur, you can walk the shofar, borrow a guy's shofar, put it down and finish. So says Ramosha, how many kolos can you blow with that shofar? 100. The poskim don't say you have to, only 30 kolos. Now we all know from the Sefer Rosh Hashanah, the fact that we blow so many kolos with the shofar. There's deraisas, and then there are bonos, and then minhagim, and hagim on top of minhagim. You know, this so many different things that are combined together to get to the magic number 100. Nowhere near that does a person have to blow Minat Torah. Minat Torah, all you have to blow maximum is 9 times. You have to blow Tkiah through it, Tkiah, Tkiah through it, Tkiah, Tkiah through it, Tkiah. The only reason why 9 turned into 30 is because we're not sure what the Truah is, whatever that means. So that's the Gemara in the end of the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah. So how did 30 turn into 60? Because Chazal and Pesach, and you have to blow both before most of and I'll say that brachas. Everything got doubled. And how did 60 turn into 100? So that Eim Sisra is to thank for. That's already a minute. That's already after it's about the Gemara. That's already much, much later minute. So we blow so many extra tkiyas, which are not required, not midatar, not midirabanan. And yet the Mishabura quotes in the poskim, you can borrow a guy's shofar and blow all 100 kolos in Pitzpah and Tzab. Nobody said no. What gives you the right to keep on blowing past what the mitzvah requires? So the answer is again, Ramosha says that the oilam of Kazakh kept you 100 kolos on Rosh Hashanah. Whether the oilam is right, midatar, midirabanan, minah, whatever the source, the maysa, the Jewish thing. The Torah Jew hears 100 kolos. If you're in a tzibur, if you're not in a tzibur, then the minute doesn't even apply. So it's understood that tzibur blows 100 kolos on Rosh Hashanah. So Ramosha says, for the purposes of nechle l'inish and mitzvah b'mayneh, you can go to mile, you go the extra mile, even tal she'ula, even the woman with the lulav, even the 100 kolos, everything is good. I would just add that I think that bisman hazeh, I would have a lot of reservations about applying the principle of nechle l'inish and mitzvah b'mayneh b'nei shofar for the following reason. Remember when the sugya started, we pointed out that although Agamar is very straightforward and says that principle develops that cloud called Nichlal Inish Mitzvah Mone, there was a Gemara Nidal Metzias that Mamash outright denied it. The Gemara Nidal Metzias said that I cannot borrow a Sefer Torah and then lend it off to somebody else without permission of the original owner, because you don't say Nichlal Inish. Why not? So most of the Rishonim explain because of a chisaron problem, because the Sefer Torah may get ripped. There's an off chance that the Sefer Torah may get ripped, and therefore people are not happy about the money getting destroyed. People don't mind having the money being used, but they're not interested in having the money being destroyed. So when it causes a hefsev, it causes a chisaron to the owner, that the owner is not willing to let you do. So I would be very, very weary about using a shofar for the following reason. In the olden days, people didn't mind too much, you know, sharing shofars. I would say, first we'll talk about pre-corona, then we'll talk about in the midst of corona. Pre-corona, I'll tell you the truth. If somebody used my shofar, I would tell you the following. If I'm away for Yom Tov, if I have three other shofars, I'm not going to use this shofar for Rosh Hashanah. I'm not going to use it until next Elul. So if Reuven takes my shofar and blows it, I probably wouldn't be such a, you know, a finicky about it. And then, I would imagine after a year, the shofar would clean up a little bit, you know, wash it off a little bit, and shut. But if I'm planning, I'm davening at the late minute, this guy walks into shul, Fashkama, and he borrows my shofar and blows it, fills it up with saliva, and I'm about to blow the shofar an hour later, I think about the chaos will attest to us, you'd probably not be happy, right? I imagine you would not be thrilled, even in a regular year. I'm not so sure we'd be so thrilled. You know, let's not forget, Mr. Boer was talking in a little bit of a different world, you know, the standards of cleanliness were a little bit different back in the 1800s than today, a different mindset. So, you know, I'm not so sure that people would be so ay-ay-ay about Nichle Elinish. This past Rosh Hashanah, if somebody would have walked into my house and would have taken my shofar and put their mouth to my... First of all, I would have thrown them out, they would have walked into my house. Second of all, they would have taken off their mask, my house would have thrown them upset. They would have picked up my shofar, touched my shofar, and put their mouth to my shofar. I'm not sure what if it wouldn't have been the Yom Hadin, I'm not sure what I would have done to the person. It would have been, I think, Beged Miyechem Miyabos. I'm not sure which category. Yeah, people get edgy. People get edgy if somebody hands you a towel. People get edgy. It's not to shake. So a guy puts his mouth to the shofar. So I think that would qualify this man as a very, very serious kepeda. So if it is the idea, I think almost like the things change a little. Not, the halacha doesn't change. The metzias changes. The Rishonim explained, based on the Gemaras, that when it comes to lulav, most people couldn't care less. Like, I take shalulav. Okay, I don't know. Maybe in the world of Corona, maybe that people do care. I don't know. I'm not sure. But let's say a normal person is not so mach, but a guy takes a lulav. Just spritz some, hand sanitizer, lulav, you're good to go. So, lulav is nishkafela. People are okay with taking a lulav as man as that. In the olden days, people were very, very mocked about Svarim. If a guy dares and walks into my house and takes a safer one, let's not forget, Svarim were extremely expensive in the olden days. People did not have access to them. And the paper was not so good. If the Svarim would rip, it was it. Come on, if you were lucky, if you were unbelievably lucky, you had a shas. That was an amazing thing. Not everybody had a shas. Whereas today, it's like a joke. Who cares? Like, I picks up my sefer and he uses my sefer. Well, come on, who is really truly mocked? Except for the American who writes in Osel Ishtamish, Chutzla Dalramas, Gezel Dior, Galzan Deraisi, Apostle Yedus, the whole nine yards. So most people aren't so mocked. So I'd say that we probably have a right to be a little bit more lenient vis-a-vis borrowing Svarim, but our mindset vis-a-vis borrowing shofaras, we become significantly more mocked. So it's not that the halacha changes, the metzias changes, so the das b'nei adam changes. So you have to size up at every play, every side, every culture, what people are mocking or people are not mocking.
Isn't the Lashon of the Gemara, it says, Lakimu mitzvah b'mamone, it's his money, as long as he gets his mamon back. So if you take my shofar, I want my shofar back, so pay me $100, I'll take
I need a chauffeur.
Okay, but so the chauffeur's not another.
If a guy would walk to my house, take my chauffeur, lend me $100, I would be very upset. I want my chauffeur. It's been my chauffeur 20 years.
The chauffeur's not a class itself, but anything that where the item would lose value and I could easily replace it because it's not the answer.
Okay, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. Do you have to take into account the person who you're taking it from?
Yeah.
Meaning, forget Corona, forget anything else. Meaning, yeah. I walk into shul, I know that this house belongs to a particular guy, I know that he's very particular about people using his things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, a problem. No, I think I'll be 100%. That's like the guy who writes it and say, if I know this guy's crazy about it, I know he's mopping on it, so then I can't take it. So, yeah.
Even though he didn't specifically say something about it?
If you know that he doesn't like people taking his mitzvah things, most people don't like anybody taking the. I would not be thrilled if a guy walked to my house and opens up my fridge and starts eating. I mean, if he came and he asked me for a cup of soda, I'd be happy to give him. But if he walked into the house and took it himself, I probably would be a little annoyed. So if he's the kind of guy who's machped on mitzvah things, then Nichle Linish doesn't apply to him. Nichle Linish is not an absolute, magic wand. It just, it's understood. But this really sets the stage for us. So we've been talking almost like the details of Nichle Linish, when it does apply, when it doesn't apply. I'm trying to plug it into the scenarios that we've been talking about. But we have to take really like almost like 10 steps back. And as you can see, the next parts of the Marmakamos are going to shift radically to sugyas relating to Babetzia, to Kedushin, to real bailus, to real Dini Mamonis, real heavy duty, hardcore Dini Mamonis questions here. Because there's a very, very big problem with this entire halacha that we've been developing. We've been talking about the details, but we have to stop and ask ourselves about the very etzem adover. Nichle linish the mevitz about good. You're right. The facts are right. 100%. Nichle, the guy's okay with it, and therefore, since when is it permissible to take something from somebody just because I'm assuming, even if my assumption is correct, even if Klapa Shmaya guy, it turns out that I was right, that he's okay with it, but he didn't give me permission. Forget about mitzvah, forget about talis, forget about shofar, forget about the lulav. Am I allowed to walk into somebody's house? I know the guy's a pretty nice guy, and he's probably not going to care that I help myself to a cup of soda. Am I allowed to do that? Is that okay? So Tosis in Bavitsi writes, that is not okay. Tosis writes, we have a word for that. It's called gezela. Tosis says that unless you were given explicit permission to take something of somebody's, you are not allowed to do so. Even if you know, quote unquote, for a fact, that he doesn't care. If he told you in advance he doesn't care, gangs on day, take whatever you want, that's fine. But he didn't tell you that. It's just that you're assuming, and you may be assuming correctly, we're not questioning your judgment. But just because your judgment is correct doesn't mean that it's mutter. Why not? Why don't we say, well, Well, when he finds out an hour later, and he says, great, that's wonderful. So Igloy Milsa the Mafreya, then he gave permission all along. So that's what Tosfos relates to a very, very famous sugya. It's going to set the stage for next week, for the sugya of Yir Shlom Midas. If you ask any seventh graders, they'll tell you about Yir Shlom Midas. I find an item. So we know the basic rule is, if the owner was Messiah, should he give up hope already, I'm allowed to keep it. That's the first mission in Hilum Metzias. The owner has not yet given up hope. Why is he not yet given up hope? Because he doesn't even know that he lost it. But if and when he finds out that he lost it, he will for sure give up hope. There's no seminar, it's not so expensive. He's for sure going to give up hope. But he didn't yet, because he doesn't know about it. So that's an age-old machlag is a bayin, Rav Tubla, at the beginning of Hilum Metzias, and we pass in the locha, it's not going to be. Like, it was a kebaya, this one. This is what the Alpha comes, it's not going to be good. That would not be acceptable. So that halacha of Yish L'midas is going to now set the stage for a major, major problem in understanding the mechanics of what's going on in our sugya. So hopefully, Mitzvah on Tuesday, we'll have to really begin to analyze from a pure Dini Mamonis. We've been talking about from the mitzvah's point of view, the pure Dini Mamonis is how can we ever, ever justify taking something of somebody else without their permission? Mitzvah on Tuesday, we'll get there. We'll have to be on mitzvah.